So yeah, man, you're getting into the fucking interviews. You got 10 episodes down. I watched part on and off the episode that you had with the two Asian guys.
Yeah.
I think they were either artists or writers for Marvel.
Well, yeah, the one dude, he was the actor on that show Into the Badlands. Okay. And the other dude, Sean Chin, yeah, he's the artist and creator. He did like a lot of Iron Man runs. Wolverine was one of his main runs that he did. So yeah, but both them dudes are definitely heavy hitters, man, and they're stepping into the indie comic realm.
Oh man, I love it. You know what's crazy? I'm starting to see a lot of the major, I guess, artists and writers that work for Marvel and DC and all these companies doing their own shit now and coming into the indie field.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
Well, it's because they want to own the IP. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
You go to the Marvel DC side, it's over for it, man. You know what I'm saying? Every IP that you get is getting Shang Tsung. You know what I mean? Soul is mine. You ain't getting them back. You ain't getting no residuals. Thank you. And get on out of here.
Bro, everybody's starting to strike now. I know the video game writers are starting to strike. Everybody got a strike, yo. It's enough with these companies that are fucking just like pinching off of the little guys. And the little guys are the ones that are basically creating everything to make this operation work.
Oh, yeah. No, it's when you realize they have nothing without us, then you realize you got the power. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can all just stop creating, and then you guys that have no creative talent in your bones will have nothing. Y'all have to do something else. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, y'all have to start a car renting business or something because y'all don't have the creativity. And that's usually what it is, man. It's usually the people with the money hire the people with the ideas.
Yep. As facts, but and there's definitely ways that if you have the money, you can hire the creatives, but then just like, you know, give motherfuckers their fair share.
Just be fair, bro.
Be fucking fair. And like, don't get me wrong, right? And we'll lead this into fucking introducing you, but I'm like, I always see fucking gray area and fucking nuance with everything. So I understand the writer's strike. I understand the video game writer's strike, you know. But then I always have the question of, all right, these massive celebrities that make millions of dollars. Like, I understand that you guys are striking and you want to be paid fairly and like you want everybody to support you. But it's like, yo, do you motherfuckers support like the Amazon union when they go on strike, or do you still order from Amazon? You know, do you support the fucking the boating industry when they go on fucking strike or they unionize because they're being overworked at the fucking yards? So I'm always like on the fence, you know, with shit like that, especially when it comes to like the super wealthy and elite. But I understand it for the writers as well.
Yeah, I was watching a video. I think it was Tiffany Haddish was talking about she barely made anything on Girls Trip. Like her check was medium as hell. But it made me think like, it made me think about a lot of things. There's just so many other things that people don't think about. It's not just the movie studio, the director, and the actor. It's all them other people on the credits that are getting paid too. It's thousands of people. They got to pay for, you know, permission to film in certain places, go to certain countries, fly the crews. They got to do a lot. Stunt teams, all these people getting paid. But you know, without the actors, you don't, you know, they made the thing come to life, right? So I do understand they definitely should get paid, and maybe they should get some residuals on, you know, streams with the HBO Maxes and stuff like that. Just give them something.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, yo, it's like we wouldn't have known Tiffany Haddish if it wasn't for Girls Trip. And that was like her breakout movie. So now you can renegotiate the next contract for the next movie. That's, in my mind, that's how I always saw it when you, and that's the same thing working for a fucking company. It's like when you're fresh out of college and you're brand new and it's like your breakthrough or like your first gig, you bust your ass to work and then say, all right, cool. I on time, bust my ass for 6 months. Let me get that fucking raise. Like, let's say, I don't know, if you signed an artist or a writer to Concrete and maybe they started off as an intern or whatever it is, they prove themselves by being an editor, or they prove themselves by doing the fucking rough drafts of the fucking pencils or whatever it is. And then as time goes on, they put in the work, and then you're like, yo, this person is valuable. You know, let's fucking re-up on their contract or re-up on and pay them more money, especially because you want them to be fucking loyal. That's how I expect the fucking industry and everything to work.
It should work like that, man. You put in the work. Let me do right. You know, you help my company out by just doing what you're doing. Let me help you out on the back end. You know what I'm saying? And just see what happens.
Yeah, and then you fucking build up your credibility. If they don't want to fucking pay you,
right?
Just say, all right, cool. Don't tell them to go fuck themselves yet. Get those fucking what's them shits on your resume? The fucking let me use you as a reference. Then you go to the next studio or whatever.
But you know,
and then when you get that next gig,
everybody got somebody down their throat, man. From the director, got somebody up there like, hey, don't let them do that in that movie. Don't teach. Don't do this. And then they got somebody else on top of them like, hey, we're trying to push this agenda. You know what I'm saying? So make sure this is in there and that in there. You know what I mean?
Don't let me get hired at the next spot, because as soon as I get hired at the next spot, I'm telling the last spot to go fuck themselves because they wasn't paying me. That's what I'm fucking saying.
Telling all the witness.
There we go. So I want to introduce, this is Lonzo. This is got to be the first person that actually believed in me when I was making my fucking content. He is no stranger to the fucking podcast. So if you listen to this on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, if you're on Patreon, I got the legendary Lonzo. He is the CEO of Concrete Comics.
Yes, sir.
He's got massive amounts of titles. He's actually got new titles that he's been asking me to read.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten around to it, except for Primate. Primate, I think I read that one that you sent to me. But he's got some new shit on the line, so I want to be able to sit down with all his artists and shit. But I was like, yo, I can't do that unless me and Lonzo sit down again properly and fucking get this thing rolling. So round of applause to the fucking GOAT. And we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of different shit today.
No, I appreciate that, man. And, you know, I definitely believed in your content first time I saw it. I knew it was 101 quality, just the hilariousness of it, man. I really think the world need to see what you got going on, bro. So if I could be one of your first supporters, I was going to be that for sure. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to continue to be that. And that's on hood. I'm saying?
There we go. Yo, you ever look back at some of your shit and be like, yo, that shit is trash compared to where you are now?
Oh, for sure, man. But it molded me. I was molded by it. I didn't see the light. I didn't see the light till I was being there, man. You know what I'm saying?
All right,
babe. I was molded by it, bro. The darkness was my friend. You know what I mean? Bro, we just took a swing at the dream and tried to hit a home run, man. I feel like I hit all bases, too. I feel like I hit a home run. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you think about it, like, I think if we talk in baseball terms, I got consecutive hitters, man. You know, from when we first started with Acolyte, Odin Absolver, then we dropped Andy Starboy, hit. We dropped Watchmen, that was a hit. Decimation Nerf. Then now we dropped Luna. We got, you know what I'm saying? We got the other hits. Everyone has just been a hit. All my runners is on base right now. All of them. I just got to bring them home.
There you go. I'm actually sitting down with the Decimation Earth team. I know they got their Kickstarter coming up soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
So I got something in the line with them. And, man, I mean, yo, the amount of stories that you guys have, the quality and the universe that you're putting together, is that something that you had foresight for in the beginning? It's like, hey, I want to start this Concrete Comics, and I eventually want to build a universe out of all of this shit. Or did it just happen over time, like randomly?
Well, it was planned and unplanned. I kind of, you know, because we all the creators individually, we all have our own universes. We all got, like, I got, you know, y'all see Acolyte, but I got like seven other characters that are building in the cut, where I could have started my own universe or my own thing and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I can't do this by myself, man. The vision's too big for me to want to, you know, just sit at the top and just be pointing where people should build, you know, build there, you know, move that block for me. Nah, man, I gotta be a Leonidas out here. I gotta be on the front line with it. You know what I'm saying? And just because, you know, I can't lead by example if I'm not out here doing what I got to do and trying to make a name for myself. Because at the end of the day, it's bigger than me. You know, concrete is bigger than me. It's about creating that avenue for people like us that didn't have superheroes that they thought that they would want to be. You know what I'm saying? My problem as a kid, there was not too many black superheroes that I looked like, that I looked at, and I was like, I would want to be him. You know what I'm saying? I want to be Superman. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be Silver Surfer. I wanted to be Gambit. I'm saying, I wanted to be the Gambit Human Torch
fire.
When I was younger. I thought Human Torch was fire. You know, no, all pun intended.
I felt that.
A lot of them, but none of them look like me. I thought Wolverine was fire.
Spawn when I was younger, bro.
Huh?
I wanted to be Spawn when I was younger.
Yeah,
is that
but
fucked up? And I wanted to fucking be a Hellspawn?
Kind of it is, bro. I mean, I ain't gonna hold you.
I don't know why the fuck I thought it was so cool that my boy was a mercenary. Then he got killed and he got dragged to hell.
Once,
and he got powers.
Once he took off that mask, I said, oh, nah, he's off the list.
You ain't bagging no bitches looking like that.
Nah, he's off the list.
That's the only downfall.
You know I'm saying? If he still looked normal, maybe, but to see what he went through, nah, I'm good. Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
Nah, bro, I'm good.
I was definitely fucking.
I don't know why he wanted to be a hell spawn, bro.
Yeah, I don't fucking know why either. But I don't know. I thought Spawn was fucking dope. But again, it goes back to what you were saying. Is like, yo, all of the black characters that I really see. I mean, I couldn't be Storm because she had tits and ass, and I didn't fucking have tits and ass. I didn't want that, even though Storm was fire.
I like,
you know,
Luke Cage.
Static Shock.
Yeah.
Static Shock. I didn't get introduced to him until I was like a little bit older.
Yeah. I know, all right. Just see the sneaky. But no, you know what I mean? I like Luke Cage, but, you know, I didn't want to be getting shot at all the time and just be taking bullets. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the cool dudes. Silver Surfer was one of my favorites of all time. And they could have made him, he could have been a black guy. He could have been green. He could have been any color. But his true form, he's not us.
He's also fire because he ain't from Earth. So it's like, you ain't dealing with, like, the racism on Earth. You know, it's just you're fucking silver. If, like, silver, there's anything that's in between black and white, it is fucking gray.
Riding a surfboard through the cosmos was one of the coolest ideas as a kid I've ever heard of. And, you know, back in the 90s, the surfer boy was the thing, you know. You got Turtle Sand, Cowabunga and stuff. And, you know, they had numerous toys of them riding surfboards. They, even in the video game, I think there's a section where you're on a surfboard riding the waves and whatnot. So surfing was big for us young boys back in the 90s. And Silver Surfer was riding the surfboard in space. That's just fire to me.
That really is a fucking amazing idea. Yo, you ever think, like, yo, all the fucking cool ideas are, like, fucking taken. And it's like, you have to be so outlandish and, like, crazy with your ideas now to, like, be separated.
I think it's how you blend it, man. Everybody can make mac and cheese, but it's how you blend it, how you make it. It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same dish. But you know, some dishes are different. Very different.
Some are trash.
Some are trash. Some candy yams are different. You know what I'm saying? Same ingredients, same thing, but it's just how it's cooked. So I feel like with Acolyte, I did that. I feel like with Acolyte, I took a lot of my favorite things and blended it so much that you guys can't even really tell what it is. It's something new now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have elements of Star Wars in there, Dragon Ball, Superman, Marvel, DC. I got a little bit of hip hop in there, everything. Movie buffs. So I feel like you can definitely create anything, bro.
Yeah, that's good. And that's one of the things that I see with the black led stories is that when they incorporate some shit from our culture in there, that shit's new for the realm. So, like, for example, like with superheroes, like, I can't think of another superhero that's like a music producer in like the music realm of rap. Not really, right?
It ain't many. And that got money and it isn't poor. Ain't in the hood.
Yeah.
I'm saying Acolyte lives in a penthouse downtown Sapphire City. And you know, he made his money off of music. He didn't make his money. He got money from you know how many minerals he can bring out here? You know, gold, you know what I mean? He could clearly be one of the richest people on the planet if he wanted to. But
that's the fucking next industry that right there. And yeah. I know I'm writing my story. I'm always paying attention to shit that is happening now, so I could kind of like predict it and write it in my story since it's like in the future. Yeah. So like one of the things is being able to, and I don't want to like give it away, but like you mentioned, like, oh, Acolyte could go to a planet or go to an asteroid belt and get like a resource that is almost like non-existent here, but that he could bring it here, and that's like millions of dollars. Like there are planets that are made out of, I don't know, like diamond, fucking materials that we don't have here that NASA is planning on mining to bring it back, and they're trying to figure out all of this shit. And it's like, yo, that's going to be a fucking industry right there. It's like, why don't incorporate that into my story?
Yeah, and it's a lot you can do with that, man. And that's where the blending of the ingredients come from. Like, you know, if you see, I think what helps me is I'm not an avid comic book reader. I read what I like, or I read for studying purposes. I'm more of a back of the comic card guy. I just like to know the stats, who they are, what they do, what they can do. That's really where my love is. I got a whole collection of trading cards, man. I'm a big Marvel card dude. I got books, but it's always the books I wanted. Like I wasn't just going there just buying everything. It was just like, oh
yeah,
I'm gonna try to collect this Martian Manhunter pack, or I'm gonna try to get this Luke Cage, you know what I mean, series, because I'm trying to build something for a purpose. So that's what helps me in my creative process, is that my brain isn't filled with all these other ideas that I've read. You know what I'm saying? It's really, a lot of my ideas come from movies I've seen, different movies, and then blending it with, like you said, what's going on in the world today with NASA, new discoveries. If they say they found a new habitable planet, oh, I'm going to put that in the story for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Got to. It's fucking new information. It's new cool shit. That it's like, yo, it's like you could just fucking like throw it in here or put your own twist on it, like you were saying. You had mentioned that you're not like a big, not big into comics, but like a big like comic book reader. I don't see myself like as a big comic book reader either. I'm more like well-rounded. I like a lot of everything, if that makes sense. You ever like afraid of somebody being like, oh, this motherfucker Lonzo, he don't even read comics. He doesn't know about comic book issue 412 of fucking Wolverine when he fucking scratched his ass. Like, you're not afraid of people like checking you like about shit like that?
Nah, because at the end of the day, tell them to create on my level, man. You know what I'm saying? If you can't create with me, you can't break with me, King. You know what I'm saying? So, I ain't worried about that, because I accept it. I don't go in there talking like I am that guy. I think the only people that get offended is when you try to pretend like you're one of those dudes. I'm not one of them. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not one of them. I respect them. I call them for advice. Yo, tell me something about, like, I'll call some of my comic cats. Say, yo, man, tell me about this dude, man. I've seen him before, but I don't really know nothing about him. And then they'll break it down to me. But because I ask so many questions, I do have a lot of knowledge of stuff that people may not think I know. You know what I'm saying? Because I do a lot of studying. But
Gotcha. Yeah, that's the same way with me, man. And I catch myself sometimes because, like, I catch myself trying to be, not necessarily trying to be like that guy, but trying to be that person who like knows like little details about shit. And then when I'm in like creation modes, I'm like, yo, fuck this shit. Like, I don't even care about this shit. I care more about just like having fun and the fucking comedy.
Having fun and creating an experience, man. That's really what it is. It's just the experience, bro. Like you said, there's really almost nothing new under the sun. Comic books have been being made for 100 years, literally 100 years now.
Yeah.
I think the first Superman was like 1920 something, right? So comic books have been being made for hundreds of years. DC got so many multiversal versions of themselves doing every single thing. Man. Everything you think Superman may have done, he's done it. He's been evil.
Yep.
He's been good. He's been a child. He's been a boy. He's been a robot. He's been a cyborg. He's been just gold. He's been everything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So if I was a creator, I'm afraid to just go out there and swing at the ball, then I might as well just keep my creation to myself, man. When I created Acolyte, I knew he was going to be a hit because ain't mm-hmm. nothing out there like him, man. Even the way he dresses, yeah. He wears, you know, it's funny when I first made Acolyte and I was just putting him out there with the design, everybody was against his hood. Why is he wearing a hood? What's up with the hood, the hood, the hood?
That's the most fire part. How could anyone be against that?
I love wearing hoodies. I always wear hoodies. Like in the winter, and when it's cool, this is how I am. All the time.
It got to be some down south motherfuckers that are saying that shit. It's definitely some down south niggas that are like, yo, why is he wearing a hood?
It could be. It could be. But it was a lot of the older readers. You know what I'm saying? Mm. A lot of the gatekeepers. Those guys.
Mm.
The dudes that don't want to make room for the new. And, you know, we kind of came in, like you say, we the Wu-Tang of comics. We didn't really come in asking permission. We didn't come in with the knowledge of, like, you know, a lot of people, they give knowledge to these writers they've been following their whole lives and stuff like that. I don't really know writers like that. I know a couple, but I just, you know, I'm getting better at it, but I was always ignorant to the names on the comics. I was just reading the comic. Like, if I got a comic, I just read it. I didn't really care who drew it or who read it. I just read the comic. For all I knew, it was Stanley did it. Stanley did everything for me. Mm-hmm. All I knew. So, you know, I was never really worried, man.
Yeah, that, you know, it's crazy that you say that, because one of the things that brought into my mind when I first started creating this, I was like, yo, I gotta highlight the fucking writers and the artists, like when it comes to indie, because I know that is an important part, because when I used to read comics, I was the same exact way. I'm just going right to the comics.
Yeah, right to the main dish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As I got,
and I wanted to highlight you motherfuckers, because there's a lot of, like, you people that are fucking talented as fuck, but you're doing this shit not at a massive company. Like, you don't have the umbrella of a massive name. I mean, obviously, Concrete is its own name now, but it wasn't always like that. And you guys have a lot of fucking writers, artists, editors. Like, your whole squad is fucking stacked. And it's like, yo, people need to know who you guys are. Yeah. You guys are doing a good job. Like, I see Carla's videos, or I see her face all the time. I see, like, a lot of your team, and everybody got a fucking brand themselves, so people can buy into you and people can buy into the stories in the comics.
And I think it's easier for us indies, because that's one of the reasons why probably we were ignorant to it on the mainstream, is because it'd be a different person every book. A different person be writing it every book, damn near, or drawing it, a whole other artist. So, and they may look similar. So we just like, yo, I thought it was the same dude. You know what I'm saying? But then you got the guys that stand out, like the Jim Lees and stuff like that, because they reach superstar status. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not all, there's a bunch of writers that are fire, but not all of them reach that other level of, like, yo, Jim Lee is on this book, I need the book. You know what I mean? Or, mm-hmm. you know, Todd McFarlane is drawing, is this Spider-Man? Oh, let me get that. You know what I'm saying? Because we know these guys from work that they were solo on, and we saw them consistently building on something. So that's the advantage we have as indies, is that if it's an Acolyte book, you already know who's doing it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If it's Absolver, you know who wrote that and who did it. So it's never like a question on consistency. And you get familiar with that person's tone of how they write.
Yeah. But I also want to know these motherfuckers at the same time. Like, that is going to get me sold out to their fucking projects. I want to be sold out to everything. I want to be sold out to the story, the artwork, the characters. But I also want to be sold out to the fucking writer, to the fucking artist. Like, I want to be sold out to everything. So no matter what, people are going to buy the shit. Like, I'm going to buy it. And that's what kind of like what I see you guys having. And one of my questions to you is, how do you get people to buy your shit?
Well, you know, it starts with the undeniable will to be seen and to be saw. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't know how people are going to respond. You know what I'm saying? But you just got to, you know, just have that blind, like, be so blind in what you're doing that you don't even care if no one's looking at it because you care so much, you're going to put it out there anyway. People could say it's trash, whatever. But if I believe in it, and I got a council of people that I know wouldn't just yes man me, you know what I'm saying, and say, oh, that joint's fire, knowing it's not. Yeah. They'll be like, yo, that joint, nah, bro, that ain't the one right there. And I think that that's like, that's a major part of it. The other part, yeah, is just like really just trying to stand out, man. When I made Acolyte, when I saw Odina, when I saw Absolver, when I saw Andy Starboy and Tenok, they all look different than anything I've ever seen. You know what I'm saying? I know plenty of characters out there. I have encyclopedias of characters. And these guys, our universe looks different than any other universe out there. And they look seasoned. Like, our characters don't look like indie characters. They look like, who are they? Everybody thinks, oh, are they with Marvel? Are they with DC? When people see them, they think we're with Marvel or something. Nah.
Motherfuckers look top-notch, like, high fucking quality. And it's crazy, like, for Tenok. Tenok came out, and, like, that show's fire. Like, I didn't really see any Aztec type of superheroes. Yeah. Or Mayan, I forget, whatever it is. But then fucking Black Panther comes out, and now we got Namor, who is literally, like, almost like that. And I'm like, yo, see, Daniel, he was on the money with that
Daniel,
shit.
Daniel was ahead of the time, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying, because I don't think that's not Namor's, you know, John in the comics, right? Like, he's just a dude from the ocean, right? You know what I'm saying?
Almost like a fucking more bad, and I know fucking DC fans are gonna fucking kill me, but they can eat a dick.
They
more
are.
More of a badass looking fucking Aquaman.
Yeah, and he has a better attitude.
You pull up to a woman in a fucking Speedo with no shirt on, you're a badass, all right? Yeah. You know, Aquaman be fully clothed sometimes.
Yeah, and he used to be a real cheese ball. I think that Jason Momoa, that helped out his image a little bit, because now they draw him a little more brolic in the comics. He's a little more rough, which to me is fire.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, obviously Jason Momoa, he already looks badass.
Right.
I feel like the Aquaman that's been in, not necessarily like the recent, but like the whole DC animated universe.
Yeah.
That motherfucker was serious as fuck. Well, pretty much everybody was serious except for like the Flash, but
Flash and Green Arrow always playing around, but I dig that, and that's really what I wanted, man. I just wanted our characters to look nice, man. I wanted to be able to put probably one of the first tests I did with our characters is once I got issue one done of all of our books, we went into a comic shop and I just put them on a shelf. I wanted to see what it looked like next to the comp. And I was like, oh, I would pick that up. You know what I mean? You got to see yourself. When you're creating it, you got to see yourself outside of yourself. You got to look at it like, you got to really ask yourself, would you buy this book? You know what I mean? And read it. Be like, yo, what would I think as a fan if I read this? Do I want to continue reading this? And that's what I ask myself after every book I write. Would I continue reading this, John? You know what I mean? Am I excited? After I sit back and read it, am I excited? If I am, then I got a good one.
It's definitely a fucking amazing talent to be able to know what is a good fucking story. So many fucking times I see on Facebook fucking comments or on Twitter, and I'm like, yo, if people love this anime or if people love this fucking comic book character or story, I'm like, yo, they're gonna love, like, other shit. Or especially like the shit that I'm writing or just any of the indie projects that I read, because sometimes like I don't understand what the allure is. Like, for example, like Tokyo Revengers. I don't know if you watch anime, if you watch that, but that shit like it's very bland. Let's put it that way. It's very, very bland, but it has like a massive following. And I'm like, yo, if people love this shit, it gotta be dumb easy to sell fucking projects.
Yeah, but I think it's also you know, where we at is it's a whole conversation, right? Because, you know, and I'll say this first. When it comes to anime, I think I got a type, man. I think I'm a little bougie on my anime side because I like I guess the most far-fetched one I like is Attack on Titans. But I like I love Attack on Titans, by the way.
Right there.
But
that's the top tier.
I'm a Baki dude. I'm a Kang in matches, One Punch Man, Dragon Ball, My Hero, Attack on Titan, and what's that one on Netflix? War of Ragnarok, I think it's called. That's on fire.
But there is a Ragnarok.
I think it's called Record of Ragnarok.
Okay.
And it's fire. It's fire. Check that joint out. But, you know what I mean? Those are joints that I'll be watching. And they're all kind of like real fighting joints. Like, it's like almost like that. They're on some blood sport type stuff, some Street Fighter stuff. So I think that's my style that I like. You know what I mean? And I don't.
Okay.
Sometimes, like, I'll see that basketball one. I heard it's good, but I'm just not attracted to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sports anime and manga, it's tough. It's tough. Like, if you're not into it, like, my brother loves the sports anime, like tennis, basketball, fucking, there's a soccer one. My brother was watching a chess manga anime. I was like, yo, I don't know how you do it, man. Yeah, I was like, yo, I don't know how you do this shit, yo. It's so fucking crazy. But then I think about it, I'm like, yo, I was watching fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! Every Saturday morning. So I was like, it's kind of like the same shit. But not really, but
it's
whatever.
It's the same, but it was different because you were introduced to the game first. More than likely, you might have been introduced to the game first. Because I think
I was introduced to the anime first, and then the cards came out.
And then the cards. Yeah, now think about it. I think it was perfect timing. I think it was Pokemon and then the cards. I think it was like same time. Yeah. Right.
Pokemon the game came out first, at least in America. I don't even fucking remember. I think the game came out first and then the anime came out.
Yeah, it might have been like that. But you know, it's funny we bring up anime and manga and comics, man. And that's one of my things that I've been looking at and studying, man, because I'm, you know, I love manga. I love it, but I feel like African Americans are the reason it's so popular right now, right? That manga.
Ooh.
Well, not.
Okay. Tell me more.
I feel like we ushered it into pop culture, should I say. It's always been popular, but it's like a whole nother culture now, right? And I feel like us black folks don't get no representation in that genre at all. But we're one of the ones that push it to the highest height it is. And at the same token, we have black creators, African-American creators that are creating some fire manga. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the hype. I don't see the love for it like I do in the comic side. Like on comics, I know for sure people are looking for representation. They're looking for black characters. In manga, I don't see that same want for, I want to see myself in these stories.
All right, so let me cook for a little bit. I was like, I agree with you, and then I half agree with you.
Right.
So I agree with you from the aspect of when you say African Americans, like our culture kind of built up anime. And I'm talking from my experience. When I was in fucking elementary school all the way to, I feel, maybe about high school, but middle school, junior high school, elementary school, it was all of the black kids that talked about anime and manga. And I lived in a very diverse fucking school district in Long Island. Now, I never talked about anime with my white friends. All my black friends watched anime, Dragon Ball Z, Yu Yu Hakusho, like everything. Same thing when I was in junior high school. We was fucking playing Mugen and creating all these fucking Dragon Ball Z games. Like, we were playing all that shit. We were playing Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, majority black, Hispanic. We had some fucking Middle Eastern and Egyptian kids. Yeah. I remember my boy fucking Alex El-Hadidi got fucking stabbed because he fucking lost in a game from my boy Eugene. And he was from Haiti. Maybe there was like a couple of like white kids that were like nerds just like us. But like other than that, majority of the white kids didn't want nothing to do. Even in fact, when I was in high school, one of the hood niggas who he was a blood, he definitely carried a gun to school.
Yeah.
I don't want to say his name just in case he watches this. I don't want to, but bro, I thought like this motherfucker was a demon in fucking high school. I remember being at one of my boys' house and we were playing Yu-Gi-Oh cards or some shit. And he pulled up. He was like, "Oh, y'all playing Yu-Gi-Oh?" And I was like, "Yo, how the fuck you know this?" We sat there for like an hour and a half talking about anime. See? Right? Fucking crazy, right? So you're right about that. African Americans have built up fucking Dragon Ball Z, fucking like all of the fucking anime to where it is now. Now obviously it's a lot diverse.
I would say here in America. In America, we're the one. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to take credit for where it's from. I'm talking about in America. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about as well. Like in America. Obviously there was the Asian kids that played with us too. Yeah. That, you know, goes without saying, but I want to say it anyway. But now Japan, I don't think Japan has an obligation, especially back then, and maybe even so now, that they had an obligation to include other nationalities in shit. You know, I don't put that on them because they're not American. Anytime that I want to see like diversity and shit, it's from America.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what they doing in fucking Saudi Arabia. I don't give a fuck what they doing in Russia. I don't give a fuck what they doing in fucking Beijing. Yeah. Right, yeah, that's your country. You do whatever you want. Of course, I don't want people. I don't want genocide and shit like that. Like that's different. But as far as like your cultural shit, like I'm not going to China and be like, "Yo, why there ain't no soul food restaurants?" Oh, like yeah, for sure. That ain't what I'm looking for. But what I'm looking for is like if studios and shit are going to be buying and purchasing up content and media from other cultures, so let's say Japan, then yeah, I'm not mad if they put some sort of inclusion into it, especially if Japan is making stuff. So one of the arguments is with One Piece, how One Piece has a lot of POC or people of color, whatever the fucking terminology is, but people that look ethnic in their cartoons, but it's like race bending, like they could be but could not. So like Usopp, like he looks like a fucking Dominican and like Dykeman. Right, he's got the fucking curly hair. He's got the colored skin. Like he looks Puerto Rican, or he could pass as black or half black.
Yeah.
There's other characters in it too. You know, I'm not putting that on Japan to say, oh, this is a black character or this is not a black character. But when America produces the One Piece live action and they make that character black, I'm not fucking mad at it. Right now, because it's become half and half. It's become an American funded Japanese creation, right? So, you know, I don't put Japan on the pedestal that they need to be diverse. It's like, no, make your fucking characters how you guys want to make it, and then if it pops internationally, it's just the story is good. It's not like it's stories that are America has had period pieces and they just like race swap people. Or they make all of these movies where it's like the white man comes and saves the day for all of the fucking minor. Yeah. Like, you know, like that shit's crazy. It's like, I feel like Japan's manga and anime, at least from the stuff that I've read, is just story driven. And that's it.
Yeah. No, I feel exactly like everything that you said about the Japan stuff. I'm not looking at them for the inclusion. I'm talking about like for the African-American consumers of manga that show that the Japanese so much love, they don't show a lot to their own black folks that are making the content.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Because we need to start fucking buying the fucking black created mangas.
It's some fire indie black created manga that's fire. That look like us. They got locks. They got this. It could be similar to a Dragon Ball story, but different. But you don't see the hype. You don't see like how we were just saying, how our people will just consume almost anything that comes out of Japan. It can be tennis. It can be badminton, whatever it is. If it's manga, they're going to try it. But in America, if it don't look a certain way, if it don't have a certain ring to the name, they're not going to rock with it. And it's like, we're so hard on ourselves.
I think that's changing, though. I think that's changing, and I think it could change pretty quickly, obviously, with the internet and with social media. I think people can start building their own individual fan bases. You got to get past, obviously, the dickheads that are like, oh, yeah, you know, Americans can't make manga or all that. That's like a very minute, like, level of people who probably don't even really fuck with anime anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll shout out to a fucking bunch of people, fucking Red F Manga, Golden Mist, fucking killing it. Black Suns, that's on Webtoons. That shit is fucking fire. The artwork is fucking flawless. Like, I really felt like I was watching an anime while I was reading that shit. We got Pulse Manga, who's got a ton of different titles. Shrine Comics got a bunch of different anime shit. Gotta go Saturday AM, fucking White Manga. His fucking project, Apple Black. Bro, like, I have people that I don't even know that reach out to me and say, yo, that manga is on par with Bleach. Which is fucking wild.
I need you to school me on some of them names, because I'm trying to do my research, man, because I'm ignorant to the ones here, because I don't see them like that. People don't talk about them. You know what I'm saying? I get a lot of my knowledge from he say, she say, yo, check this out, or do this, yo, if I see this online. So if you got some references for me to check out, slide them my way.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Seiji Bodo, his fucking... his art is fucking dope. It reminds me of, like, early Dragon Ball, like, when I used to read those mangas. I mean, so many fucking people, man. But, yeah, man, I feel like there could be a really, really big wave, and it's gonna come, of indie creators in both comics and manga, and especially creators that are, you know, minorities, that are African-American, that are Hispanic, that are just from all over, that are creating shit.
Because by all means, we don't have to stop supporting the Japanese stuff. It's fire. This stuff is fire. We love it. But there is a couple infractions in there where they draw us very incorrectly. And, you know what I mean? I'm saying it happens.
I mean, but yo, we've been dealing with that shit regular comics, yo. Like, you know, they fucking back in the day, they had the same hairstyle for all the black characters. That motherfucker from Burger King,
Super Big
Recess.
Pink.
Yep. What's that other show? Captain Planet. They all had the fucking high top fades.
But to them, but to them, they saw House Party and thought that was the pinnacle of black excellence. You know what I'm saying? Back then. So, but I don't blame them.
House Party, that's a good reference, though. I can't even front. That's a good reference.
Because you got to think about it. Before House Party, when you think about it, people had the old Bobby Brown Gumby cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Gumby. That was the thing back then. But I'm not mad at it. I just want this, as much love and hype we give to the Japanese culture, which is well worth the love, we got to give it to us too. As much money we giving them, let's give it to us too. You know what I'm saying? Spin that thing, bring it home.
You know who had fire black hair? That Harry Potter video game.
I was customizing
my character. That shit was fucking fire. I don't know if they had black people in, like, the fucking room, but
they had to.
Was in there, they stuck their foot in that.
I've been waiting for them to put some new hair in DC Universe for 13 years.
Yeah, you ain't never getting that.
13 years, I'm waiting for that, man.
Starfield, the black hair was just like trash. So it was just like, all right, let me just get this fucking Caesar.
I do gotta ask you about Starfield, because I don't have Xbox, but you know, I watch from the glorious side of town. But from what I've watched, because I watch people play it on Twitch, it looks kind of boring to me. I ain't gonna hold
boring that. As fuck. Boring as fuck. And I don't give a fuck if anybody is in the fucking comments or nothing. Starfield is boring as fuck. I love Bethesda. Skyrim, I fucking love that game. Skyrim was like my top fantasy game until Elden Ring came out and fucking watched them. But I loved Skyrim. Starfield, boring as fuck. Like, the storyline is just there's stupid mechanics in the game. Like, it makes you, like, let's say if you're on a planet and you got a mission in, like, the main city, and then there's, like, an outskirts that you have to get to. You could walk to the outskirts, but there's mad indigenous creatures that'll fucking lace you. So what you got to do is you got to get back in your ship, fly out of orbit, pick the spot that you want to land, and fly back.
Really?
Instead of just, like, getting in your spaceship and hovering over. Like, there's so much shit in that game. Like, I feel like they put so much fucking thought into, oh, let's fucking design this pen and this applesauce cup and let the people pick it up and do. Yeah. It's like, yo, all right, yeah, it's whatever. After you shoot mad bad guys, it's like, yo, this got like repetitive and fucking.
Yeah, I used to play that game. I think it's called No Man's Sky. And I thought it was going to be similar to that. But
that game was fire compared to this shit.
It's fire with the, you know, being able to travel literally infinite amount of places. And it do be some different planets. But the thought of finding somebody else is so rare that when you find somebody else, you're like, yo, what you doing out here, bro? You know what I'm saying?
No Man's Sky, that's that. At least for consoles, I don't know about like PC and shit. That game is fire as far as space travel, exploration, creating your own shit, cool little storyline, like all of that shit. And especially where it is now. Like, if you look at where it is now from when it first came out, totally fucking different game. I mean, it's got multiplayer. You could team up with your friends. Like, I was playing online with two of my other friends. Yeah. And it's dope. Like, you could be flying in space and your friend could be on a planet and you could be like, yo, these space pirates are like lighting me up right now. Like, I need one of y'all to come through and help me. They can get in their ship, fly out of orbit to come rescue you. Then y'all could go back. And then like it's so many different shit. Like, very little loading is one of the things that I'm going to throw out there. Starfield, mad loading.
Really? I ain't gonna lie. I might got to I think I got to get the newer version of No Man's Sky. Cause I had it, but I had it on like, if I'm not mistaken, I think I had it on the 3 because it was out for a while, right?
Yeah, it's been out for PS3. I'm not sure.
Or was it the 4? I can't remember.
It's definitely 4.
I know
definitely
I had it for a minute, but I haven't updated. I haven't put it in. I haven't tried it, none of that stuff. But I did love the game. It was just like that first mission where you try to build your ship, that took a minute, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To get it right.
But it was fucking fun. Like, they gave you the instructions. They kind of let you know, like, what materials to get, what things you needed to build to help you. And, like, that's what I loved about the game. It was like, all right, cool. It's like I'm building my own shit. And start. I mean, I could sit here for another 30 minutes bashing Starfield.
Oh, yeah. Nah, I mean, I gave it a try on the streams. I wanted, because it looked beautiful. The game looks beautiful. But I was watching this one chick play, and she was just walking around this base for a minute. She had to talk to mad people. And it was like everybody's talk was like a 10-minute talk. I said, damn.
Yeah, and it's not even, like, interesting because, realistic science is already kind of, like, boring a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Like, whereas, like, with Skyrim, niggas is talking about, yo, these fucking, like, cat people came over here, pillaged our village, and then a dragon came and breathed fire. We need you to go over here to get this guy, escort him to repair the village. Like, that shit is interesting already.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I need you to go to fucking alchemy school. Like all of that shit is fucking interesting because it's fantasy. Whereas, like, Starfield, like I said, I could go another fucking hour and a half, like, bashing that game. Thank God I didn't pay the fucking $30. I already got Game Pass for it. Bethesda, I knew this shit was fucking trash when you said it wasn't multiplayer. That's when I knew this shit was done.
Oh, yeah,
that's when I knew y'all was coming out with a fucking game and you wasn't updating it ever again.
I feel like game, like unless it's like God of War, most games should just be multiplayer from the rip. I was playing, I popped in Anthem the other day. And to my surprise, it was a full lobby. It was a full lobby.
Nice. I mean, yo, there's plenty of old-ass games that got lobbies, y'all. Me and my boys, like, we still play Gears of War. We play Gears of War 4 and 5.
Sheesh.
Those games came out at least like 4 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And 4 years and more. Still fucking matches upon matches upon matches.
Yeah, no, it's still rocking, dog, because that's the same on Avengers. Avengers the same way. You know, I go on there, every people on there ready to rock. You know what I'm saying? Ready to rock them, get it rocking. So games don't truly die. They just don't evolve.
Nah, that's some games die. Some games die.
Some
games die. I mean, the Harry Potter game is like fire as it was. Like, it has no replay value.
Really?
And I guess most single player games don't have replay value. I really shouldn't get on that game because it was already phenomenal in general. But Starfield, I feel like once that's done, it's like nobody's going to be playing that shit anymore. They should have made it an MMO or some sort of game where it's like you could explore and... Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I could fucking go for an hour bashing that shitty ass game.
Hey, bro, speaking of your shirt, I put on the Spider-Man, the Peter Parker Spider-Man one. Replay value crazy, man. Like, I'm playing it like I never played it before.
Peter Parker. Wait, what are you talking about?
So, I put on the Spider-Man game, but not the Miles Morales one, the one before the Miles Morales one.
Oh, okay. Miles Morales was Spider-Man 2, right?
Yeah, Miles Morales was the latest one that came out. And then one before that was the Peter Parker one. You know what I'm saying? With it just Peter. And
yeah,
the replay value, you know, most Spider-Man games got mad replay value because you can, no matter what, if you finish the game, you can just swing around the city and it's still problems. Like, people are still popping up. It's still crime going on. You still can collect things. Like, you know, you can literally get on a game and just patrol just every day. And it's something new. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Who do you think are the greatest superheroes of all time? Like, pick one for Marvel and pick one for DC.
Are we talking about as a creator? Like, if I wanted to create one, or are we talking about business-wise or just everything?
Everything.
I think I've thought about this, and I think Spider-Man is the perfect creation because he's perfect for kids. You can go to a school, promote him. You can pitch him to adults. They understand him. He pays bills. He does rather things. He has a crazy rogue gallery. He's in one of the most popular cities in the world. He has girl problems. He got a couple to choose from at the same time.
He be having the hoes, man.
He's an Avenger. He's everything. He can literally be with everybody in Marvel Comics, and it makes sense. Yeah. And he can sell to anybody. Any movie you put out with Spider-Man is almost going to be a hit. I don't think there's ever really been like a trash Spider-Man movie. You know what I'm saying? They've all been, history of mankind. Even the old school live action, it was still fire. it was still dope.
Yeah, it was fire for that time. And then Tobey Maguire is such a legend that when we saw him in fucking No Way Home, we were like, yeah,
people lost their mind.
Fucking dope.
So I think Spider-Man is one of the like overall. I think Spider-Man is the greatest character ever made. And then I think, and that's because he's so relatable too. And you take a spider and the way they blended the spider ability with him, they didn't mess up the way he looked, but gave him abilities and a suit, but still mixed in the science with it and teaching kids to stay in school. It's so much they did in Spider-Man. It's crazy. On the DC side, man, I'm probably going to go with Batman for real.
Yo, it's so fucking crazy. I had this conversation about like three times in different ways. So the first time I had it with G as a kid, I was talking about, like, you know, who's better, Spider-Man or Batman. And then I sat down with Peter Molyneux, who owns a comic book shop. So it's actually good to hear from someone who actually owns a brick and mortar shop to say, all right, cool, what are people actually going in there and fucking picking up and buying?
And he immediately said
Spider-Man and Batman.
I think Batman is the perfect creation on DC side. He's relatable. Rogue gallery. And him and Spider-Man are basically the same person. Their rogue galleries are unrivaled. They both have I think Spider-Man has the best rogue gallery in Marvel, right? Or one of the top rogue galleries in Marvel. That's most recognizable. He has like a starting seven. That's fire. I'm saying Batman got like a starting seven. That's fire.
I always say Batman's villains are the best villains in superhero history.
Yeah, his villains are perfectly made. Because now some of them, like Penguin's a little stupid nowadays when you think about them. You know, or Two-Face, like those guys don't really.
You think Penguin's stupid now?
I'm saying, like, the way he used to look with the short and stuff, you know, whatever weirdness, he looks a little more intimidating now, the way they draw him, which looks better. But I'm saying the concept of Batman fighting them is stupid because he's like, I like Batman fighting the Banes and the people that give him a physical challenge. Most of his rogue gallery, once he knocks the little crowbar out their hand, they're done. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm the opposite. I like when Batman does go against a Penguin or a Joker or somebody who isn't with like the fucking shits when it comes to the hands. Yeah. Like I love, and you know, this was kind of like the same with Penguin. Obviously it was a little bit more surface level where it's like, you got the main villain and you got the henchman, but I like the angle of Penguin is a fucking mob boss.
Yeah.
I think that's fucking incredible. Yeah. I love the aspect of Joker being this fucking psychopath who attracts other psychopaths. And he's a good leader. And he's like, yo, y'all gonna fight this guy for me.
Yeah.
This guy just happened to be a multi-billionaire who got this ill-ass fucking arsenal of weapons. And he knows fucking karate. And he's a little weird. He comes out at night. But y'all gonna fight him. I think that shit is fucking flying.
See, I think I'm the opposite. I like the fact that Spider-Man is broke. He is broke. He's delivering pizza in the midst of stopping a bank robbery. And then all his villains are top tier intelligence. They all get it in. They all got bread. He fighting Harry Osborn and his pop. They got bread. Kingpin. Yeah. Kingpin. Bread. All his cats got bread, laboratories, and that Spider-Man is so intelligent. It's not just a battle of the mind, it's a battle of the physicality as well, which is like they're giving us both sides of it at the same time. Whereas with Batman, he's already gonna knock Riddler out. Now the stuff the Riddler puts him through is fire. That's fire.
Yeah.
But once he gets past it, it's no challenge. And to me, that's why Bane is a challenge, because Bane is on his intellectual level. You know what I mean? Yeah. A little bit, not as much, but he can give him a rumble. And that's why you don't see Bruce really trying to get into it with Lex Luthor, because Lex will probably treat him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? he don't really want to smoke with Lex like that.
Fuck Lex Luthor. I fucking hate that nigga.
I'm just saying. He don't really want to smoke with Lex. And logically, well, I think why I put Spider-Man above Batman is that with that much money, I would not have a grappling hook, for sure. I would be more so Iron Man. I would be more so Lex Luthor, for real. Like, why would I?
I think the grappling hook is swag, bro.
It's swag, but
I think that's the two things that Spider-Man and Batman got for them is that they don't they don't fly. They do things that kind of make them fly, like swinging through fucking, first of all, who doesn't swing? Like, we fucking tie a rope to a tree and swing all the time. Yeah. So you could already relate to Spider-Man a lot more than fucking Superman.
But it makes sense to Spider-Man to swing, because he's a spider. Batman should be flying. Yeah. He's a bat.
But he glides.
But when it comes to a bat, man, the bats be getting it in out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you can't really tell, because he lives in Gotham and all of the buildings are mad high. So when he glides, it's simple. It looks like he's flying almost.
It made sense in the 20s, in the 30s. But look at Batman Beyond. Was he not fire?
Yeah, but Batman Beyond, Batman Beyond is fire.
I'm surprised
that we're not using that IP a lot more.
There should
I get it. It's in the future and shit, so it kind of like eliminates everything else DC got going on. But Batman Beyond is fucking fire.
I like Batman. I think what messes up Batman is the money aspect of him. That's what messes him up. Because you think about it, he's
rich.
He's basically Daredevil. He's basically Daredevil. If Daredevil had more money, he would not be out there like that. I'm gonna tell you right now, he wouldn't be out there doing that.
Yeah, if I had Bruce Wayne's money, fuck
that's what I'm saying. If you had Bruce Wayne money, well, you're not jumping building a building, bro. Because Lex is right across the river, and he got this technology. He's on hoverboards. He's on all kind of stuff. Why are you doing this, Batman?
Hoverboards. I'm being on the fucking women. I'm getting my own island, and I'm flying out 1,000 bad bitches, and I'm just living there for the rest of my. Fuck the crime in Gotham. I can't be rich and a superhero. So, I gotta pick one.
Yeah, so that's
either give me the superpowers or give me the money.
Even Green Arrow, he's rich. Why would you have a bow and arrow? I'm saying a crossbow, maybe. You know what I'm saying? But Or it makes Batman makes sense for the villains he originally fought. But once he starts fighting these superpowered dudes and he's able to rock with them, then he go back to Gotham and get hit with a crowbar. That's where they mess up at.
But that's where they add the intelligence factor, because then once he starts to incorporate himself into the Justice League and he's fighting fucking Darkseid and all of these fucking villains from space who are just massively overpowered, he's like the only person in the Justice League that doesn't have superpowers, but that's where his intelligence, his fighting capabilities, the prep time that all the fucking DC fans fucking go into.
I feel like that intelligence thing was added to give him a superpower, because he was just a good detective. Like, there's no way he's smarter than Martian Manhunter. It shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. He shouldn't have more money than, he shouldn't have more knowledge than Green Lantern does. With that ring, he gets all that power and knowledge from all the old lanterns and Lantern Corps. He should know. Superman himself should be the most intelligent person on that planet. Because of the Kryptonian, you know, he can read a book in a second type. So he could do whatever. But you know what I mean?
Flash should be.
Yeah. So what?
Not necessarily, like, he should be able to just think faster than everybody, which automatically gives him a leg up on Superman.
I saw a comic where Zoom was beating down Bruce. He was beating him down. And Bruce distracted him and stabbed him in the foot with a batarang. Zoom. And I said, bro, you talking about a man that can hear a gun pop, see the bullet and look at it and be like, what the hell? So you mean to tell me Batman throw a little smoke bomb?
Yo, I saw a fucking video of Batman was fucking like chained up, and I don't know, maybe it was Joker or somebody, and they were like, yo, Cheetah, watch after this nigga. You know, and be careful, he's cunning. And this motherfucker Bruce Wayne rizzed Cheetah and got out of there. I'm like, yo, they're just giving too much to power. This motherfucker.
Too much power, bro. You know what I'm saying? And they did that because they messed up, man. If they would have kept him as a detective and in Justice League and just to be that part that he played, he'd be fine. And I feel like that's why, like, Spider-Man fits in anywhere. Like, when he goes to the Avengers, they treat him like a young boy. Bro, you're the young boy. Yeah. Listen to what we say. Do what we do. Every now and then, he got to prove himself, but he doesn't just get this extra love because he's Spider-Man. And with Bruce, he be punking cats that have way more authority than him. Green Lantern should be especially John Stewart. He should just come to Earth and be like, yo, listen, all this Gotham stuff, stop it right now.
Bow down to me. He's like, yo, you want this shit cleaned up? I'll clean this shit up right now. I'll fucking go through all these walls, gather up all the villains, throw them in fucking Arkham.
All he got to do is use his green ring. His green ring, grab them all at the same time, put them in a cell. Done.
Yeah. I'm thinking of fucking Martian Manhunter, my bad.
Martian Manhunter.
Either way. Yeah. Martian Manhunter. I feel like
he's the most powerful person on the Justice League, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that's, first of all, you can fucking go in people's minds.
On par with be translucent, Superman's strength.
Fly. You could change into anybody that you want. Yeah. He's got the coolest powers.
I thought that one scene on Justice League Unlimited was fire when Wonder Woman and them, it was like some big old kaiju in China rumbling.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman and them pulled up to see what was going on. Then we got there. They saw this old Chinese dude fighting it. He was like, yo, who the hell is that? And it was John Jones. He just didn't change yet. He was just fighting his regular. He was just in just as a human. So he was like, yo, who was that powerful man down there? It was John. He was just getting it in. I said, see,
good fucking series, man. See, yo, I don't understand. And there was so much more shit that I wanted to get into. But yeah, I don't understand why fucking DC struggles with their movies when they should be kicking Marvel's ass when it comes to live action movies. I don't get it.
I think Marvel had a better plan with taking characters that, well, they were, it was basically destiny that made them do that. They didn't have, if Marvel had the rights to X-Men and them cast, they would have done them. They'd have done Spider-Man. They'd have done Hulk. Yeah. They'd have done them. We wouldn't have got the Avengers, because the Avengers was never like, you know what I mean? They were popping, but nobody really liked Cap like that. You know what I'm saying? Or other people like that. You know,
and yeah, but they did a fucking bang-up job. They made us like Chris Evans.
They made us like him, man. So, but you know, they would have went with Fantastic Four, X-Men,
facts.
And facts. They'd have done Incredible Hulk. They probably would have done maybe Daredevil. You know, Spider-Man for sure. Those would have been the guys. I'm saying Avengers, Tony. They they probably wouldn't have thought it was feasible to do Tony. But the fact that they were forced to use the characters they had, and they still had Thanos, they said, let's do this. Let's do the Avengers with Loki, Thanos, and whoever else we got. Hawkeye, throw all them niggas in there, and let's just make a banger. And that's what they did.
Fire. Pure, unadulterated fire. That whole fucking Infinity Saga.
I feel like DC is too focused on... they're too focused on making Batman the centerpiece. When I don't think he needs to be the centerpiece to everything. With Man of Steel, they kind of started with Superman, which made sense. He brought all these people together, and because he's the biggest threat, you know what I'm saying, why not go with that? And it started working out good until Josh Whedon messed it up. But
he fucked up everything, which is fucking wild to me because he directed the first Avengers movie, which was fucking amazing. I don't know what the fucking input was. I don't know, did Josh Whedon, he tried to clean up or he tried to remix and do shit that was already in place from Zack Snyder. So maybe, I don't fucking know. But
he tried to add humor to actors that aren't humorous. You know, Ben Affleck's not really he's not a comedy guy too often. You know what I'm saying? He tried to give him little jabs there. Whereas Robert Downey Jr. has a lot more range. I think the Marvel actors have more range than the DC ones did when it comes to what their ability to do. Like Captain America wasn't goofy, but he had funny moments without trying.
He had a couple of liners, but it wasn't like overtly trying to be comedic.
Exactly.
Flash
was over the top. Flash was too much. Flash was way too much. You know what I'm saying?
Trash. Worst rendition of Flash that I've ever seen in my life. The way this motherfucker ran was
his running was worst, definitely sickening.
Worst running I've ever seen in my life. Oh my God.
The best speed still running is on Eternals. That's one of the greatest running.
Anybody that disagrees could eat a whole fucking glizzy. Makari, her running looks so much better than fucking Ezra.
Even when she was fighting the bull and she was hitting him from all them different angles. Fire.
So fire. I've been saying this. Yo, get rid of the fucking slow-mo. Like, we don't need to see the slow-mo. The only hot thing that they did with the Flash, and I'm talking about this movie, is when, he first started to get into the stance, and then, the outside fucking buildings, went forward.
Yeah, it was like...
That was hot.
Space bent around him, and he moved.
That was hot, but... The whole flailing of the arms, I'm a track runner. I ran track in fucking high school. That is disrespectful the way that they made fucking Ezra Miller look.
Yeah, now him, we don't need to see his arms and stuff moving. He should be moving so fast that we just see his head just moving. And this is just a blur. He's just
getting it in. Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying?
The fucking CW series did a better job.
He like this. He out there swimming.
Bro, I don't know what the fuck.
Even running like this is weird. Nobody runs like this, bro.
Nobody. Jeez. Fucking basura, yo. That shit was trash. Yo, what do you think about Aquaman? The trailer, the movie? Oh, are you going to see it? How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it. I think it's fire. It looked dope. I'm a big Black Manta fan. I love Black Manta. I feel like he's going to be dope this strong. I think he's a little more brutish than I would like him. I would want him to be more calm, more reserved, but very vicious. He seems very yeller. I don't remember Black Manta really yelling like that and screaming like that in the comics or the cartoons. He's almost like how Lex Luthor is, like a laid back bull, but I'll kill you at any second if I want to. You ain't never going to ruffle my feathers because I'm a boss too.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. You know,
but it's good.
Maybe they gotta put personality to him because they gotta. I don't fucking know. I don't know. But yes, I do love Black Manta. I love Black Manta from back in the day when they had the fucking the Legion of Doom, with the Hanna-Barbera fucking art style cartoons. I've been a Black Manta fan since back then. So that's the perfect villain that you'll have for Aquaman. I liked the way they portrayed him in the first Aquaman movie, even though I didn't think that movie was great. For this movie,
I think it's gonna be fire. I think they.
You think it's gonna be fire?
I think it's gonna be fire. Well, you know what? I'll reserve the fire.
Let's be real, bro. This is gonna flop.
Oh, it's gonna flop. But does a flop mean it's trash though? No, I didn't see the Blue Beetle joint.
It's
the Blue
trash. No. That yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying, because I didn't see the Blue Beetle joint. Is that joint good? Good.
That was good.
But according to the streets, it's a flop. You know what I'm saying?
That was good. I mean, it's a flop.
It's a flop statistically.
I feel like any DC movie that comes out that isn't directed by James Gunn and his universe is gonna flop regardless, because there's no vision. We don't know, like, when James Gunn drops the first Superman movie and the first Batman movie, that's going to be our clear understanding on what DC's future is going to be like from then until now. Right now, it seems like Blue Beetle is like when the parents get divorced and, like, the kid don't know what parent to go live with. That's what fucking Blue Beetle is.
So Blue Beetle's not a part of the new drone?
Well, originally it wasn't, but now, you know, obviously James Gunn's gonna, you know, he's gonna mull it over because he's the head of DC now. So obviously he's gonna be like, yo, he's gonna have a big role in the universe that I'm putting together. Yeah. But this is still like a project that was started before James Gunn took it over.
I feel like when it comes to DC, what they did wrong after Man of Steel was in Batman vs. Superman. They should have saved Doomsday for Justice League movie. They should have used for Batman vs. Superman, they should have used Metallo as the villain. Metallo would have been a good enough villain. He would have been very hard for Superman to beat. Batman would have had to come through. You probably wouldn't have needed Wonder Woman, but you could have saved Wonder Woman for Justice League. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, but we saw Metallo there. He was the dude in the wheelchair that got hurt and was hired by Lex Luthor. So he was there, and Lex had the kryptonite. He had everything. That dude got blown up in the bomb. They could have used that.
I don't even remember that movie.
Yeah.
It's so, been so long.
I remember Doomsday
was trash. Yo, that motherfucker looked like he was born with a... No, I'm not even going to say it, because motherfucker's going to fucking cancel me
first of all, chill out.
Like 20 years from now. Yeah, right? But that motherfucker, get that nigga out of here. That nigga was not Doomsday.
The thought of Doomsday, I think Doomsday was transforming into the version that you would have respected. Because at the end of his last transformation, if you saw him, he had the gray, he had the stone, he was starting to get there, but they used him too fast. Now, if Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad would have had a version that had him, and then they would have revamped him again for later. Now we're talking. You know what I'm saying?
Amanda, you know it's bad when Amanda Waller is probably the best villain out of everything in the Snyder DCEU verse.
She's out of pocket. She is out of pocket.
She was the best fucking villain.
Now Peacemaker is a part of the James Gunn joint, right?
Oh, are most they? Definitely. That's fucking James Gunn's fucking baby right there.
No, yeah, he loves that one a lot. I can tell.
Yeah.
But,
yo, I love that shit. That shit was fucking funny. That the action in that was fucking good. Yeah, that shit was fire.
All of us are eating that. Close that up. Come on. But yeah, that drone is definitely fire. But I'm excited to see what DC does, man. I'm gonna give him a chance. We've been rocking. We were good with Man of Steel and where the direction we're going. We was getting used to Ben Affleck and stuff, and then they couldn't keep actors. Racism was getting pulled out of there. People was getting locked up. They just had a bad run of actors, man.
They just got to fucking hold the L. Yo, it's over. It's over. Let's get this brand new fucking rollout. I mean, we're not getting Superman for like another 2 years anyway. So
I don't know why they didn't try to drop a Static Shock drone, man. I feel like it. I like Shazam was all right. Well, nah. How was the second Shazam?
Bro, I didn't watch that shit.
Oh, man, I thought you watched
that. Fuck no. I'm not fucking watching. Bro, I could already tell that shit was going to be fucking trash, man. I did like Blue Beetle. I was like hyped for, not hyped, but you know, like, oh, I love Blue Beetle. Like, you know, I'm gonna fucking glaze him. No, I wanted the movie to do what it did, which was be a fucking decent superhero movie, which is what it was. Right? You already fucked up Shazam. You made Black Adam the most powerful motherfucker in all of DC.
Black Adam was ridiculous. So,
yeah, and I like that movie because I'm a fucking Rock fan. I liked it.
I did too.
But I was like, yo, Black Adam, like when I'm watching this shit, I'm like, yo, this motherfucker.
Black Adam was dope.
He's strong as fuck.
Black Adam was dope. They messed up by just, they should have just introduced him in Shazam 2. It's simple.
They should have introduced him as Shazam 1. He should have been a villain.
They should have just done it. He has the same symbol in there, but I think The Rock didn't want to be tied to that, right? And this is like, bro, but this is Shazam. I'm saying you don't exist without Shazam, bro. You know what I mean? You're his rival. You know what I mean? But he wanted Superman to be his rival.
Which I could understand that too. It's like, yo, like Shazam and fucking Superman could have. Just like in the fucking animated series. Yeah. Like, they just need to take the fucking animated movies and make them shits live action, and you're fucking straight. Like, the blueprint's already there. Yeah.
But Superman needed Shazam to beat him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know he definitely mean? Did. He definitely
Shazam
did.
Shazam to beat him.
Yeah, and I think Shazam and Superman fought in that movie, too. That shit was fire. That shit was fire. But,
Give me that bottle right there. It's one in the cabinet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, bro. That's well, cool,
man. So, before we cut out of here, because I know we're a little bit over an hour, and I want to be respectful of your time. I also want to get like 5-10 minutes for Patreon. I gotta support that crew as well. What's up next for Concrete?
So we got a lot going on, as you see, man. We're in comic book shops now worldwide. People are consuming that Acolyte number one. It's out there. It's getting a lot of love. I'm super happy about that, man. And it's a brand new number one, new art, a lot of new everything. And outside of that, Acolyte number 5 is going to be on the website this month. October is going to be a crazy month. Be on the lookout for Base Force to hit the website. Be on the lookout for that brand new Zor-El to hit the website. And be on the lookout for another Kickstarter announcement that's going to be dropping. Oh, also Primate, the digital is going to be on the website as well in October. Mm. So October is going to be a big month. We got the end of the year sale, Christmas sale. Oh, and we do got a contest that's going to be coming out. It's going to be a script writing contest, three page script writing contest, Halloween themed. You can pick any characters from Concrete Comics that you want, and the winner will get their script, drawn out by some of our artists and featured on our website for people to consume. It'll be lettered, it'll be colored, all the above, man. It'll be fire. So
that's fire. That's fire. That's gonna get people fucking. Wait, so you're fucking having a script writing contest, and then you're gonna have the artist turn that script into like real comic book pages?
So there'll be three winners. The grand prize, their script to be turned into pages for sure. The second winner, they're going to get some merch, and maybe there's still script to be featured on a Patreon for people to read and check it out. Okay. And the third place as well, he'll get something similar like that. But the first place, he going to get his thing drawn out. Three, Ooh. Whatever characters you want to use for a little Halloween-themed story.
That's a fire-ass contest, yo. That's a fire ass contest. That's creative. I don't think I've ever fucking seen anybody do some shit like that.
Yeah, but we always want to bring that experience, man, to the people.
Yo, if I was like fucking younger, and it's like there was a contest like that, or is like a way that you could write your own script and then have artists turn that shit into that's fire. That's a fire ass idea. I like that shit.
Yeah, no, and we're gonna try to do that more often too. We're gonna try to do something like that around Christmas and New Year's time. Maybe we'll do another challenge.
Cool.
And we're going to start trying to do these challenges, once a quarter, possibly. And just encourage people to write more, man. Give people that platform that are just looking to get into the game. This may be a perfect way for you to get your name out there. Join our contest. Be a Patreon member. as low as $2, and you can submit your script for the prizes. So anybody can join a contest, but our Patreon backers get the chance to actually submit to be drawn. You know what I'm saying? So I like it.
It's fire, bro. I like it, man. I like it. But there we go. Lonzo, big Lonzo in the fucking building.
Big Lonnie.
Appreciate you hopping on, man. Again, you know, there's always a fucking open door for you to hop on. I know this is the second time around, but I wanted to properly sit down with you, have you talk about Concrete. I know last time we were just talking about a whole bunch of shit.
Right.
But it's good to have you on, man. You're doing big things. You're a visionary. You're a fucking dream builder. You're fucking building your own fucking team and getting their dreams out as well. And I think that's just fucking important. That's just fucking cool as fuck, man. So, again, appreciate you on the show. Everybody, make sure you guys follow him on all his platforms. I'll post up everything, the Facebook, fucking Instagram. Any Kickstarter you got, send me the link, and I'll post it up in the descriptions as well.
I appreciate that, bro. And I definitely got to get you on Concrete Approved as well, man. I got to feature you on there to show people who you are, where you
hit
at.
Get your boy up.
All I need is that hit schedule, your, man. Tell me that schedule. I got up. You.
There we go, man. All right. Everybody, we are out of here. Deuces.